Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk.
The Miraculous Draught. I was preaching by the seaside, and the crowd was pressing round me. Word had spread about the healings, and a multitude had found me. All these limping folk and anxious folk, the lost, the broken-hearted, brought a dawning recognition of the scale of what I'd started. I was trying to explain to them that love could make things better, but they kept on getting closer, and my feet were getting wetter. I was standing in the shallows, but confronted by the breadth of this tide of human sorrow, I was way out of my depth. Then a fisherman named Peter left the nets that he was mending and informed me that his vessel was available for lending. I'd met this guy before because the mother of his wife had been really rather poorly and I'd sort of saved her life. His boat became my pulpit, and when I'd finished speaking, the multitude dispersed, and as the vessel wasn't leaking, I suggested that we launch out on a twilight fishing trip. So I grabbed the net he'd mended and got back into the ship. But Peter was reluctant, as they'd fished the night before, and the nets had all been empty when they brought them to the shore. But I looked him in the eye, and he gave a sort of smirk, and he said to his companions, "Come on, guys, let's get to work." Then he hoisted up the sail, and we headed out to sea, while his fellow fishers, James and John, sat laughing on the quay. But when we started fishing, it took less than half a minute till the net was almost tearing. There was such a catch within it. We called out for assistance, and James and John came rowing, and when we'd emptied out the net, both ships were overflowing. The men were all astonished at the volume of the catch, and Peter cried, "Compared to you, I'm just a hopeless wretch." It was all a bit dramatic, and the boats were almost sinking, but when we got the fish to shore, Pete told me he'd been thinking, and he'd come up with a cunning plan to help me with my preaching by selling cut-price fish to all the people I was reaching. "You tell us where to cast our nets the way you did this evening. We give out fish, you give the word. We'll have them all believing. The scheme should work out perfectly. It's all that you could wish. Your fame will spread throughout the land. The man who catches fish." But I was staring at the nets, and new ideas were forming. I was thinking how the crowd had been too much for me that morning. There was me, a single fishing line, confronted by a shoal of poor and needy people. It was tearing up my soul. I feared that so much work and stress would bring me to my knees. What I needed was a network of fine people such as these. I looked at them, at Peter and at James and John, and then I said, "How's about you follow me and help me fish for men?" The pitch was met with silence as they looked at one another, the three of them, plus Andrew, who I learned was Peter's brother. So I said, "Look, if you change your minds, you know where you can find me." But as I left, I heard their footsteps falling in behind me. So that is how it started, with a net of bream and perch, and became the 12 apostles and a network called the Church.
The first reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8 and 9 to 13. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and say to this people, Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed. Then I said, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burnt again, like the terebinth or the oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel is written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Glory to Christ our Saviour. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and spoke to the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
Praise Christ
our Lord.
In the year that King Uzziah died, it's a great line, it's a great opening line if you're writing an oracle. In the year that King Uzziah died. On one hand, it sounds like a straightforward factual statement, locating this prose poetry in time and space with precision, 740 BC, carving it in stone forever. It was actually a big deal that King Uzziah had died. He had become king at the age of 16 and reigned for 52 years, for the most part as a good and successful monarch, taking counsel from the prophet Zechariah and leading an age of prosperity. However, as often happens, late in his reign, he was corrupted by power and thought himself above the temple law. And in a cinematic scene, where he tried to burn incense in the temple, which only a priest could do, and was struck down with leprosy. When his son was then installed as regent, Uzziah spent the last 10 years of his life in isolation as a leper. The mighty fallen. You can read all about it in 2 Chronicles. Isaiah had been a fan of King Uzziah. And with the death of the king and the looming threat of the Assyrian Empire to the east, that's what's being referred to at the end of our reading. Isaiah has this dream, this vision, substance field trip, perhaps, when he senses God calling him to be the bearer of divine judgment. "Surely not me," he appeals in the dream, until God reaches out to him. And in more timeless cadences, Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." In the year King Uzziah died. It's a phrase with a rhythmic fanfare that is frozen in time and has come to evoke forever the shared human mystery of experiencing the call of the divine. In the year that King Uzziah died, it was the summer of 1976, and I was 17 years old, just enough of a person to begin to wonder what my place in the world might be, newly enamored with the story of Jesus as it happened, and haphazardly stumbling in the general direction of those of his friends I had encountered, short on data, long on the romance of counter-cultural idealism. On a hazy school holiday summer afternoon, I wandered into the sports shop that my auntie managed. She was a kind auntie. I didn't know her well, but she was somehow more worldly wise than my other relatives. I knew she was a devout Catholic, something not spoken of in my somewhat blue-nosed family circle. Making kind conversation in the shop, she asked me if I knew what I wanted to do when I left school. No doubt I looked vague and completely from nowhere, without any previous history of discussion or preamble whatsoever. She said, "Perhaps you should go into the ministry." Taken entirely by surprise, I experienced the moment as it is sometimes portrayed in the movies, when the camera zooms in very quickly on a face, accompanied by a blaring trumpet blast. I don't remember any more of the conversation, but I do recall walking home in the summer air, head spinning a bit, thinking, surely not, oh Lord, I'm just a kid, I don't know anything. And something like, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a boy of unclean lips. And then sometime in the days and weeks that followed, something like, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me, I think. I knew then that if this was a calling to a path that I might follow, it would be a long path. And exactly 20 years later, sitting around the stove at the MacLeod Centre on Iona, I was in conversation with a man I didn't know, a clergyman visiting from the south of England, sharing something of our stories, when something similar happened, completely from nowhere and with only the barest outline of information. He said confidently, I think maybe the time has come. Camera zoom, trumpet sound. And so it was. And this, I think, is the first occasion I have shared this information. Partly because one can't help feeling a bit presumptuous and foolish, but more importantly, because it's dangerous talk. It's dangerous talk because it might well exacerbate the classic misunderstanding that calling and vocation are principally associated with ordination in the church. A further 22 years along the path, I feel no more a suitable candidate for a church vocation than I did at the start. But I do understand a great deal better that the call to diaconate ministry, for so is ministry characterized in the New Testament, from the Greek root diakonos, a servant, one who attends, one who presents and prepares food. More clear that the call to diaconate ministry is much more to do with encouraging the vocations of us all. All of us who, to our bafflement, find ourselves like Simon, James, and John, sensing that the God of creation has somehow reached out to us through our myriad of variety of experience. Whether it's because we were brought up to believe, or whether it's because of a teenage passion, or because of an intellectual compulsion about the life of Christ, or because of an aesthetic sensitivity, or because we feel loved and accepted. Whatever the reason, however tentative it may be, that somehow we have been called to cast our nets, and we can't help sense that we must respond. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me, I think. Jesus essentially calls Simon to a project without clear results. Put out in the deep water, he says, and let down your nets for a catch. But there's no indication of what this catch will be. A good catch, or an adequate one, or an abundant one. A catch that feeds one family, or one that feeds a whole village. The call to Simon is clear and simple. Put out your net. But the result is difficult to imagine. A catch seemed fairly impossible, given that the fishermen have already been fishing all night and caught nothing. To cast nets again, this time in deep water, which most likely means more work and more time, and doesn't seem very promising. We, like Simon, might not believe that ours is a promising situation, based on what we've seen so far. Every day maybe brings news, whether it's personal or global. Every day brings news of this, more of the same in our lives and our world. More intolerance, more division, more violence, more death. We too might feel we have been living in the all night long, where often we can only see emptiness. Do not be afraid, says Jesus. What can that mean? Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching people. Well, it means, I think, that Jesus' call is to look further. Instead of focusing on Simon Peter's lack of trust, Jesus highlights the continual call to catch, even when the results are a mystery. Much of life exists in the space between work and result. Young adults and middle-aged people work towards a retirement they cannot see. They might become ill in their 50s and forfeit their savings for end-of-life care. No one knows. Young people go to school and stack up their exam results and extracurricular CV for years in order to be considered successful. Will they go to university and onto a career path that they would like? Or will their life circumstances lead them a different way? No one knows. We rarely, if ever, are promised a clear result for our work. But that doesn't seem to matter to Jesus when he asks Simon to put out into the deep water. He merely asked Simon to do what Simon knows how to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Simon is a fisherman. He knows how to cast nets for a catch. He knows the sea and the life within it. He knows how to do this. It is the work he has been equipped to do. Like Isaiah, and like Simon Peter, and like all the others who go before us, we are all called in the midst of our daily lives to be ministers at our own lakeside. Cast your nets. Write your chapters. Teach your students. Balance your financial accounts. Design the buildings. Pour the concrete. Make the lattes. Lead the meetings.
administer the intravenous drips, answer the phones, sing the arias, do what you know how to do as well as you can, as if you are doing it for the Lord. And the catch, the bringing in of the kingdom, will be for God to worry about. In the year that King Uzziah died, I said, "Here am I, send me."